Hey everyone, this is Pastor Jesse of Broadway and Port Colden United Methodist Churches. Thanks for listening to our message this week. At Port Colden, we celebrated a baptism, and at Broadway, we were celebrating our youth group. And so the message is a little bit different for each church, but still covers the same message. We continued with God's big story, and so the scripture this morning is from the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Hear now the word of God. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth, and they had lived there about 10 years, until both of her sons died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that they would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "Will we go back with you to your people?" But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight, and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, even if death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. And so the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have a great week. And I did not know my mom was going to be in church this morning. But my opening is all about her, so I apologize, Mom. Whoops. I've been thinking a lot about what my mom used to say to me this week. One time I was having a fight with a girlfriend, and my mom says, "Jesse, when a girl says what, it's not that she didn't hear you. She's giving you a chance to change what you said." "Jesse, when a girl is angry or mad and you ask her what's wrong and she says nothing, it's never not nothing. It's probably something else. When a girl comes and complains to you and starts to rant to you, don't try to fix everything. Just let her rant. Just sigh and shake your head and say, 'Darling, that is awful.'" And that piece of advice has become very helpful for me in my ministry. There's something about being a pastor when you're with people who mourn that the best thing you can say sometimes is nothing at all.
The best thing you can say is, this is awful and horrible and I am so sorry for you, and not try to ease the discomfort or the mourning with platitudes. This week has been a struggle for me while I look all fancy in my suit. The past 48 hours have been particularly rough, if for nothing else than I've put about 500 or 600 miles on my car. Alyssa, my girlfriend who sits over there somewhere, her uncle David, who we've been praying for, passed away this week. And so on Wednesday, we got the text that he was in hospice and that we should drive home. And on Thursday, we were driving home. We got to her parents' house around 10 and went to sleep with the intention of visiting Uncle David. And he had passed in the middle of the night. And so I was with a family that was mourning. And I always knew this was coming. On Saturday, we had a training at Drew University. So we had to quickly leave a mourning family and go to what felt at the time just unnecessary training. And then after the training, and this was always going to happen, I had a wedding down in, excuse me, I've been saying that because it's my habit as a pastor. I attended a wedding down in South Jersey in Ocean City, my hometown, which was about a 2.5 hour drive from Drew and from here. And so I left my training and went to Ocean City and attended the wedding of one of my best friends and his beautiful bride. And in that church that raised me, that baptized me, that affirmed my call to ministry, and then went to the reception for a little while afterwards, and then came home late last night. And then this morning is a day of celebration, the baptism of baby Brayden. Brayden Seeley, Brayden, little baby Brayden, who is 16 weeks old today. And so the weekend has been a wild, wild ride from death and mourning to celebration of a wedding to a baptism and celebration of our youth downstairs whose coffee hour idea was entirely their own. Kind of. You can tell them that they came up with a good idea, even though it was mine. And so when we read the story of Ruth today, when we read the story of Ruth and her mother-in-law Naomi today, I don't think the scripture happened as quickly as we read it this morning. I don't think the story of Ruth and Naomi happened in 48 hours like my weekend has. But I still think it's interesting to read this story in light of God's big picture, but also in light of what happens in our world sometimes. And so let's look at God's big story. It starts in verse 1, and a line that I think Carolyn read very well, but it was almost too quick. It was almost too quick because of everything that was contained in verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, it begins, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and his two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. There's a whole lot to unpack there, folks. That could be an entire week's worth of, entire month's worth of sermons just in that one line. The time of judges after Israel enters the promised land. The time of judges where we have an entire book devoted to them, led by six judges, including Deborah and Samson and Gideon and Othniel, this time when the people of God were trying to figure out what it means to be people of God. In the time of Judges, the Israelites sinned, and so a famine entered the land. And this is where the writer of Ruth is being funny. And we're going to talk all about how the writer is being funny in Bible study this week, but it says there was a famine, and in the town of Bethlehem, there was a man. Bethlehem literally means the house of bread. There was no bread in the house of bread. He's being funny. He's making a joke here. And Elimelech, and I love that Carolyn had to write out the pronunciation. I had to do the same thing this week. Elimelech literally means God is great. At least that's what the name kind of means. And so the man named God is great leaves his country, leaves his town, leaves his country where God has said, this is where you go, and instead enter into Moab. Enter into Moab, and that's a whole nother, again, series of sermons we could read. Howard asked me, who were the Moabites a couple of weeks ago? And I said, Howard, that's a big question. The Moabites were sons of Abraham, but were not Jewish. They were not Israeli. They were not people who followed the living God. They were kind of the bad guys. Some of the bad guys. There were a lot of bad guys back then. But the Moabites were people that in Ezra, the book of Ezra, the Moabites were marrying the Jewish men and women and turning them from God. It's way worse than saying the Moabites were from Montana Mountain. The Moabites weren't even of this country. And so this man who says God is great, even with his name, leaves from the house of bread with his wife and his two sons and enters into the evil, despicated country of Moab. And there the man who says God is great dies. Elimelech dies and Naomi is left with her two sons. They are brought in. They are shown hospitality by the Moabites. They marry two Moabite women, and then the two sons die as well. They die as well, and so Naomi looks at her daughters-in-law, looks at Orpah and Ruth, and every time I hear Orpah, I always think Oprah. It's the same letters. It turns out, and I did look this up because that's the nerd I am, Orpah's birth name is actually Orpah. So Oprah Winfrey, her name is actually Orpah from the Bible. She changed it because people kept mispronouncing it. And so Orpah and Ruth, these two daughters-in-law of Naomi, stand before their mother-in-law and she says, leave. Go back home to your families. Go back home to your mothers. Hopefully you can find yourself some good Moabite men and settle down. And so this is where we have two different stories. Orpah goes home. And we're going to talk about that in Bible study, that Orpah literally means the nape of the neck. But Ruth, scripture says, clung to her mother-in-law. Clung to her mother-in-law. And this is where our language reading gets a little bit interesting. She clings to her mother-in-law. The last time we saw that word was in Genesis chapter 2. When Adam is presented with Eve and it says that a man leaves his mother and father and clings to his wife. Clings to his wife. And so a lot of times we see that as a sexual word. But in reality, it's a familial word. It clings to her mother-in-law. Clings like a baby clings to her mother. Clings like PETA is clinging right now. Clings and holds on for dear life to Naomi. And there we get one of, and I love this set of these couple of verses. We get one of the best, one of the most beautiful writings that I've ever seen. I've seen this scripture in weddings and in funerals. This morning I'll see it at a baptism, which I'm very excited about. But Ruth stands to her mother-in-law and says, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die. Wherever they bury you, I will be buried. I will be buried. And so this is another time where I think our language is a little lacking. The word stay in the NIV, King James Version says lodge. wherever you lodge, I will lodge. That's pretty close to the original Hebrew. Dwell would be another good word, but the Hebrew word actually has an alternative meaning. It actually means, it can also mean where you mutter, where you complain, where you mourn, where you sit down and you sigh at the end of the day and you say, what is going on in my life? Where you go, I will go, Ruth says. Where you mourn, I will mourn. Where life hits you over the head, I will be right next to you. Your husband has died. Your sons have died. You are going back to your country as a widow. And I will go with you. I will go with you. And when we sit and complain, we will curse together. When we sit and complain, we will mourn together. When we sit in the dust and ask God, why did he do this to us? I will be right next to you. Now the story ends a little bit more positively than that line. We're not going to read the rest of Ruth in church, but a quick synopsis. They go back to Judah, they go back to Bethlehem, and Ruth meets a man named Boaz. And they get married, and Boaz and Ruth have a son. And Ruth's son is named Obed. And Obed is one of the good guys in the Bible. I like Obed's son more. Can anyone guess who Obed's son is? Jesse! Well done. I thought it was going to take a lot longer than that. I should have guessed. Obed is the son of Jesse. Jesse is the son of King David. And we're going to read all about King David this week. King David's a big name in the Bible. A man after God's own heart, we're going to read this week. And so King David begins the unified kingdom, begins solidifying who the Jews are. And King David is seen as kind of this the beginning of what God is doing for the Israelites. And King David is a distant ancestor of Jesus Christ. And so Ruth the Moabite, Ruth the enemy, Ruth the outsider, is listed in the book of Matthew under Jesus' genealogy. Ruth the Moabite, this woman who could have turned back with her sister, who instead turns to her mother-in-law and says, I will go where you go, is a distant ancestor of Jesus Christ. Today we're having a baptism at Port Colden. Little baby Brayden. And I'm excited for many reasons about baby Brayden, but the one that I like the most is that baby Brayden was born June 17th, 2019. He is 16 weeks old today. And the cool thing about that for me as a pastor, that's one of the reasons why I'm wearing a suit. The cool thing for me is that I'm holding a baby who, when he is 80 years old, it will be the year 2100. There's a person in our midst who will be alive in the 22nd century. I like it because our students who are downstairs were all born in the 21st century, all born in the 2000s. They will be teachers and leaders and parents and youth group leaders of a group of people who will be alive in the 22nd century. That we and every single one of us in this room is leading and teaching and bringing those students up in a world where they will know Christ. That we are surrounding them with love and that they will remember in the year 2100, they will remember this church that raised them. After I am long and dead, baby Brayden hopefully will sit at the Board of Trustees at Port Colden and say, well, the Reverend Jesse Rook baptized me in the year 2019. It's interesting when we look at our liturgy. I get yelled at about this all the time, especially from Pastor Howard. I'm beating up on him today. I'm excited to see him in an hour. Pastor Howard has pushed back on me about baptism. When we look at our baptismal liturgy, and if you wish to turn to it, it's on page 34 in your hymnals. And I'm actually going to do that. You don't have to follow me because we're not baptizing anyone this morning. So page 33 is the baptismal liturgy, but what I'm actually looking for is page 40. The pastor addresses the congregation. I love the hymnal. Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? And the response is a sentence or a paragraph that I think we've said dozens or hundreds of times. But I love this sentence. I wrote a whole paper on this sentence of our liturgy alone because I think this encapsulates what it means to be a Christian. With God's help, I will proclaim the good news. I will live according to the example of Christ. I will surround this baby with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their service to others. I will pray for them. I will pray that they may be true disciples. I will pray for them that they may lead a life that walks in the light. I will pray for this baby, even though Braden is not going to be a member of our church. Even though Port Colden is not our church and they share our pastor, and sometimes we get a little grumpy about that. We are still praying for that little baby this morning because this morning we are celebrating that that little baby will one day be a Christian. I love Ruth's response. Where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you sit and dwell and mourn, I will sit and dwell and mourn with you. Even with your child. Even with your children, I will sit and mourn. Even with your children, I will sit and teach. Even in this space, when they are in their 80s and 90s, when it is the 22nd century, our legacy will still be with them. And it all started from Ruth. It all started from the great-grandmother of King David. And what I'm really excited about this morning is that baby Braden, his great-grandmother, will be in church this morning. And does anyone know his great-grandmother's name? Ruth! Ah, today's a great day, folks. I love wordplay. And so here at Broadway, I'll stop talking about Port Colden for a minute because everyone's kind of looking at me. Here at Broadway, we have a youth group. We're at 6 students right now and for the next month or so. 6 students who are learning what it means to be Christians. 6 students who, come Pentecost, come the spring, will have the opportunity to stand up as every single one of you has at one point or another. Stand up before our table, stand up before the congregation, and decide if they want to be a Christian or not. Decide if they want to be a member of this church or not. Decide for themselves if this is a community of people that they want to go along with. If this is a community of people that they have chosen to join, that they have chosen to align themselves with. And so in a short, way too short as the leader of their confirmation class, I've already run out of weeks for my lessons. But in a short couple of months, these students will be able to stand up and say, yes, I want to be a member of Broadway. And then when they are in their 80s and 90s, when they are the age of, I mean, nobody in this room, but when they are older than all the folks in this room, they will sit on our church council. They will sit on SPRC. They will sit on trustees. And they will be making decisions about our church because of the values that we have instilled in them. Because of the promises that we have given them. Because of the ways we said at their baptism and again at their confirmation that we will pray for them. That we will surround them with love that they may know what it means to walk in the way of Christ. Where you go, I will go. Where you die, I will die. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Will you mourn, I will mourn with you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our sermon this week. This has been a joint Broadway and Port Colden United Methodist Church process. My name is Pastor Jesse, the pastor of Broadway and Port Colden churches. We hope you've had a great time listening today and have a blessed week as you go about your day. Please think about stopping in and joining us one Sunday. We'd be happy to have you. If you have any questions about the churches, about the message, or anything else that you can think of, please reach out to us at info@broadwaynj.org or info@portcoldenumc.org. Thank you and have a great day.